that's the truth right there.
And good afternoon, good evening, good day to all of you out there in radio land and on the internet. This is Bruce Birch, and you are listening to All Things Reconsidered. Tonight's show on All Things Reconsidered is going to be about the fantastic, amazing, incredible rally that occurred in Washington, D.C. this past weekend. And let me tell you something, man. This thing was off the hook. Completely off the hook. I went up with a friend of mine named Kent, old anti-war guy from the 60s, and even he said this shit was off the hook. So tonight we'd like to present to you some audio, some various this and that's, interviews, a couple of interviews, and some various chants, and some stories, and some speeches, and try to give you a flavor of what occurred this weekend. I know for sure that you may enjoy the show, but sit back and relax. Enjoy us. All Things Reconsidered. Fantastic. Welcome to All Things Reconsidered for this Sunday, September the 25th, 2005. I got to tell you, I just got back, this afternoon to from Washington, D.C., and never in my life have I had such a good time in D.C. I've been to D.C. on a number of occasions for conferences and just to sightsee and that kind of thing, and once or twice for some you know, business-related stuff, but you know, going up there this weekend and listening to and being a part of perhaps the largest anti-war demonstration since the late 60s was an incredible experience, wanted to just sort of give you a heads up. We are broadcasting live tonight, but there will be a number of recorded interviews and some other stuff that we're going to toss in here. And actually, what I wanted to try to do was give you an anthology, if you will, of some of the occurrences and some of the things that we experienced while we were up there. One of those was when we first got into town. You know, we drove into town probably about three or four o'clock on Friday afternoon, and we actually drove into the down Constitution Avenue down in that area just to sort of look around. And what we saw was probably at least 2,000 or 3,000 people already there Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock around Camp Casey. Now, if you're familiar with Washington, D.C., Camp Casey was located just to the north and west of the Washington Monument on the south side of Constitution Avenue. So it's right really kind of on the corner of Constitution Avenue and 14th Street. The tent was set up right in between 14th and 15th, and there was a field of crosses that were installed there. The crosses were probably 2.5 feet tall. Some of them had American flags by them. Some of them had pictures by them. They were in perfect, neat rows. Very incredible thing to see driving into Washington. So what we decided to do, we said, well, you know what? I'm not going to try to find parking. We're not going to try to do anything like that. We're just going to go ahead out, get our room, jump on the metro and haul, you know, whatever, back into town, which is what we did. Came back into town, and it was getting dark, and it was amazing because when we got off the metro and walked over the Federal Triangle Metro Station and walked over to walked up Constitution Avenue toward the Washington Monument, they were just starting a vigil, and they were lighting candles. So first we saw one or two candles, and then three or four candles, and then all of these candles just, I mean, it was like from 1 to 2, 2 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, they just exponentially began to light up the crowd. It was pretty amazing to watch. There are some pictures that I took of this vigil on my webpage, and that is www.thetruthis.us and then /WASH PICS, P-I-C-S, WASH PICS. So, if you want to see some pics, they are there. I'm going to play a couple of pieces of audio just to give you a flavor, you know, of the vigil itself that happened on Friday evening. The first piece is a speaker, and it, you know, if you can't hear it too well, it's because we couldn't hear it too well either. But this is just to sort of give you a flavor of the actual event. So stand by as I find the clip. And that was us at the vigil. That what you heard, the first clip that you heard there was a little Hispanic American lady whose son was killed in the war, and she was voicing her malcontent with that, you know, with that whole situation. And then the second clip was right at the end of the vigil, in which the song "Amazing Grace" was sung, and everyone was holding their candles up over their heads, and it was really quite beautiful, except for obviously the sirens in the background. But you're going to have that in the city, so it's you know, that's just something you have to live with. The next clip that I'm going to play you is a little sort of an interview. Now, the gentleman that I took with me, a friend of mine named Kent, who I interviewed last week. If you're a listener to the show, you know Kent. Kent is a veteran. He's not a veteran of the Army, but he's a veteran of the anti-war movement, and attended 30 to 40 rallies in the late 60s, early 70s. And this is I wanted to get his take on the vigil itself and kind of what he thought about it. So this is the interview with Kent regarding the vigil.
So tell me, Kent, what did you think about the vigil that we went to this evening?
Quiet, except for the harassing music. It's difficult to hear the speakers. But I think there were probably some limits on or noise ordinances involved in that. It was pretty good, you know, just for something quiet and to get you kind of ready for the next day.
Yeah.
Kind of like meditating before the...
The battle?
Ooh.
So we shouldn't say battle because this is the day before.
Okay.
So, well, you know, the thing that kind of got to me, or the thing that stuck with me, was that going into the tent and then they're like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a professionally run vendor. I mean, the lady was like, oh, give us, you know, 12 to 15 for the shirt, you know, $1 for the bone, you know, whatever you want to give.
And that was a suggested donation, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a demand. So, but that's the way it works, and might have something to do with the way things are taxed and nonprofits.
Yeah.
And we sort of drifted off into a different conversation. That conversation was actually on the metro as we were leaving, going back out toward East Falls Church. And the next stop, a gentleman got on the metro who was heading to the same stop as us, who just happened to be on the steering committee for United for Peace and Justice. I'm standing there listening to him have a conversation with a friend of his who actually worked for the government and found out that he was on the steering committee, and we were getting off at the same stop. So, you know, I did what I do best and decided to interview
him. Okay, I'm talking with Ken right now, and Ken is on the steering committee of United for Peace and Justice for the event that we are at this weekend, and I was on the train tonight and overheard him talking and then sat down next to him and happened to just bump into this guy. Ken, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Well, tell me, like, how did you get involved with this event and how long ago and how long have you guys been working on it?
A while. I'm from Boston.
Okay.
I work for Boston Mobilization.
Okay.
And we're a member of United for Peace and Justice, which is a broad coalition of anti-war groups from around the country.
Sure.
I was a delegate of Boston Mobilization to their St. Louis convention.
Okay.
Where I was, they try to have a very diverse group of people at there, and they offer scholarships to students and young people who can't necessarily afford to be there to make sure that there's a diverse group of people who are and their thoughts are heard.
Right.
So I was there as a young person.
Okay.
And
Were there a bunch of old people there?
Everybody. It was it was a very diverse group, you know, people from all different, you know, ethnicities and different communities, age groups and varying political beliefs that are centered around stopping the war.
Okay.
And that's one thing that we promote as an organization is we're very broad-based. And we're trying to get as many people as possible together that are focused on ending the war.
Absolutely.
So I was in St. Louis representing my organization, which is mostly Boston students and young people. And I was encouraged to run the steering committee.
So,
I ran.
So the Peace and Justice Railroad rode again for Ken, is that?
Yes, sir. I was encouraged to run.
Okay.
I met a lot of people. I came to the convention in St. Louis. I knew only a handful of people from Boston came. I met hundreds of people while I was there. Everyone's very nice. It's all, you know, trying to network, trying to build coalitions in a national way, and trying to build bridges between different groups that are working towards the same goals. I was nominated on the committee and went around rallying people to vote for myself, and I was elected. So
excellent.
I was instrumental in what we did on March 20th, the second anniversary of the war in Iraq. In Boston, we organized a big protest there.
Okay.
We were able to bring together the breadth of Boston's progressive community for this event.
That's fantastic.
We had about 5,000 people in the Boston Commons.
You've been working your butt off.
Yes, I have. I've been trying.
Movement.
Yes.
So what is your job specifically here this weekend?
Well, I am helping with the concert logistics.
Okay.
We're working with Operation Ceasefire, and we're doing a big, and that's actually what my background is. I'm a musician.
Okay.
And that's one thing.
I'm also a musician, but not a famous one.
Well, I'm not a famous one either.
Well, maybe you will be someday.
Working on it. but I feel very strongly about the connection between music, culture, art, and its connection for social change.
Okay.
I really feel that the movement that we have right now doesn't have the roots that it, in terms of music and art, that the, for example, the civil rights movement or the anti-war movement had back in the 60s and the 70s.
Sure.
And this event, we're really tying into that, Operation Ceasefire, and all the bands that are performing, you know, we hope to bring a lot of people in and share a lot of messages while at the same time, you know, keeping people entertained to some extent.
Sure.
And at the same time, spreading as much information as possible.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm primarily involved doing with the logistics of the event. You know, we have 30 tents and tables and chairs and so many hundreds of volunteers that need to be coordinated in transportation from cities all around the country. It's been a monumental task.
Yeah, I bet it has. Is it? And are you doing this totally in a volunteer capacity?
Yes.
In addition to your regular work or,
yes.
or school? Wow.
In addition.
In addition to. So you don't sleep much?
No.
Okay.
Certainly not.
I can understand that. You know, as Warren Zevon once said, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Precisely.
Now he's sleeping. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
Okay.
Nice running into yours.
And that was Ken Quam. Ken actually is, as I said, he's on the steering committee for United for Peace and Justice and from Boston, Massachusetts, and was down and just happened to bump into him on the Metro. Heading out to East Falls Church Station. Now, we were staying in Falls Church proper, which is pretty much downtown Falls Church. And if you've ever been there, you know that, boy, there's a lot of stuff to do. So we went back and went to sleep and woke up and decided to go back to D.C. early the next morning. When we got back over into D.C. the next morning, you know, It was amazing. And if you've read my blog on the website, which is on the front page of www.thetruthis.us, you will see that, you know, I got really overwhelmed Saturday morning. I walked off of the, we took the Metro back into town and got off the Metro and, you know, and walked up Constitution Avenue and all of a sudden, I mean, you looked and it was almost like it was, I mean, this is like 9 o'clock in the morning and there were easily probably 10 grand maybe even 15,000 people out there at 8 to 9 in the morning. You know, and they had the sound system set up, the, you know, speakers or there were announcements that were coming over that you could hear throughout the entire National Mall. I mean, it was just quite incredible. And everywhere you looked, there was a sign that, that had something to say negative about Bush. And you know, I took a picture of a lot of signs, and again, you can find those on the site. But I'm going to give you a sort of a little bit of a taste of some of the things that we were hearing, because I think that, that it's especially important that you hear just some of the stuff. It's fantastic. This is an announcement.
there's a necessity for me as a person to express this. Internally, it's very important to me to see and join brothers, sisters, other people who are just other Americans like me who feel that we have been cheated and that we have missed leadership and not leadership. Okay, those are a few of the thoughts that come to mind. Outside of town, we live in a retirement home, and there aren't very many of the other retirees here that we know of, but they may be here.
Well, I for one am grateful you're here.
Huh?
Thanks for your words.
Yeah, and we've seen people from Michigan and Oregon and California, San Diego, and Australia. Yeah. She's taking movies of us.
You know, they're having problems down there like we are up here. They got the neocon government down there as well. Howard, I think his name is.
I want to end the war. I have difficulty knowing how this can be brought to an end, but it has to be brought to an end, and it should never have started. We should never have invaded another country, aggressively invaded another country for the change of leadership there. And we are another thought that we were sharing this morning that you might be able to express better than I is how it. It turns your stomach, it makes you sick when our president stands up and says, we've got to fight them over there, so they, that is the most inhumane, short-sighted concept of human value I've ever heard in my life. And yet he wants to save little tiny...
Actually, I think impeachment is too good. I think George Bush ought to be brought before the world court.
I think so.
For war crimes.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think that could happen.
I hope so. And Cheney and Rove and the whole crew.
That's right.
So, and Rumsfeld, so he can figure out what the known unknowns are.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, good luck.
Well,
good luck
with that.
And that was just some announcements and some chanting and some wonderful stuff that was happening prior to the main speeches. And the gentleman that you heard me talking to, or that you may have not been able to hear me too well, but he was a retiree who was living in a retirement community, and he was there with a friend of his and the friend's wife. And these were, you know, guys in their 70s who were completely fed up. And I'm going to tell you something about the group of people that was there, because I think this is the story that's not getting out there. The story that's not getting out there is that the people who attended this rally were normal, everyday people like you and me. These were not liberal extremists. These were normal, middle-of-the-road, moderate folks that you would run into in the grocery store, you know, using coupons, driving, you know, their 3-year-old car, still making payments on it. You know, I think that it's important to understand that point, because there were even conservatives there. There was a gentleman that I ran into who had a Vietnam veteran cap on, who was a conservative, who was there because he believes very firmly that George Bush has subverted the United States Constitution. If the conservatives, the Eisenhower Republicans, think that George Bush has subverted the Constitution, then it looks like he's beginning to lose that last 30% that seems to follow him around and do anything in the world for him. The next clip that you're going to be hearing is Representative Cynthia McKinney.
Into Latin America to slap Venezuela. It swept death, greed, justice. Let's stay together because we have to get rid of these ill winds and breathe fresh breath into a new jet stream of life. We can do it, y'all, because they can't fool us anymore. Thank you.
Meet your mom at the fountain. Adam, 8-year-old. If you see him, please help him. Thanks.
I've got Sarah with me, but you guys have to be awesome.
And that was the Raging Grannies. Fantastic, man. They really got a great response from the crowd. And the person you heard before that was Cynthia McKinney. But one of the things that I wanted to tell you about the speakers, and actually, was just that, you know, being a part, as I was standing there listening to this when they first started, I was standing there and listening and watching and just sort of observing the folks around me and looking at the signs and just being like a total dork with everything that around me, just in wonderment, as was a lot of other people. But, you know, as people, as I was watching and listening, you know, my friend leaned over and he said, "Look behind you." Now, when we walked up there, there was like maybe a couple of rows behind us, you know, but you could see plenty of grass. I turned around and looked, and from, you know, like inside of 10 minutes, like from where I was all the way back to the street was a sea of people, and it just, it was just amazing. It was just flat out amazing. Of course, you know, as no anti-war march would be complete without the Raging Grannies, in this kind of situation, I would also venture to say that it wouldn't be complete either without having Cindy Sheehan speak. And we're going to play you that clip now because, you know, again, these clips are recorded right where I was standing in the middle of the crowd, so you're hearing a lot of the crowd noise. And if you've watched C-SPAN, the march, the speeches on C-SPAN, what you saw was basically right out of the mic. But there was a tremendous amount of crowd participation in all of this.
Next speaker. all of you. I have been asked on behalf of the Stop the War Coalition in Britain, of which I am the Vice President, to convey to this great rally here in Washington, D.C., the fraternal greetings of 100,000 demonstrators in London.
No justice! No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
action and hold the criminals in this government responsible. Please welcome former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark.
Father of a 53-year-old daughter who had never heard a sound, I would like to thank the person who can talk to her. As a lover, I would like to say, how do I love thee?
That looks like a yippie
song. Let me count the ways. But there's not time for love right now. I have to say, how many crimes has the Bush gang committed against human dignity? Let me count the ways. There's hardly world enough in time to count all the ways. We can begin with what the Nuremberg judgment called. It would seem that anyone who feels would recognize it, the supreme international crime. The Nuremberg judgment calls the war of aggression the supreme international crime. It's the first crime against peace. There can be no war crime if there's war. It leads to all the crimes against humanity. It is a supreme international crime. And George Bush is shock and awe, a synonym for terrorism, isn't it? Shock and awe. It's a war of aggression. No rational person can believe that Iraq was any threat under any circumstances, even if it was developing weapons of mass destruction. Built on deliberate lies, not misinformation, not poor intelligence. They knew damn well what they were doing. They wanted to do it, and they did it. Every moment of this invasion which takes the lives of Iraqi people every day is an illegal occupation. And we as Americans have the highest responsibility because we live here. This is our country. We love it. We want to take it back. We want to end militarism in this country and end aggression. End the occupation in Iraq now. We're spending more on arms than every other country in the world. We've got to slash that 90%. There'll be no peace until we do. Iraq again because we say falsely they're developing weapons of mass destruction. We got more than the rest of the world combined. We're developing three new generations of nuclear weapons in the face of the non-proliferation treaty and all the other laws of the world. And they'll be used because they're tactical weapons. You can take out 10 discrete blocks in Fallujah this time. You don't have to send Marines in to get killed. That's what Bush is about. What more arrogant statement have we heard from any president of the United States at any time than President Bush's statement about Haiti? Aristide has to go. The president of the United States, elected by a 5-4 vote of the Supreme Court with a minority of the popular vote, says that the most popular and beloved president in the hemisphere with the largest electoral majority serving as the president of the Republic of Haiti, the only republic in the history of the world that liberated itself as slaves from French colonialism. And he dares to say Aristide has to go, I say Bush has to go. By far, he's a gentle, loving man. He never Fallujah? Fallujah is the Guernica of our time. The city's been destroyed. Thousands killed in the eyes of the world. Auto bribe, it shows the heart of American respect for human dignity, doesn't it? You torture them. He said, oh, it's a few phrases, and then you continue to do the same thing. There's no greater symbol on earth for contempt for the idea of human rights and human dignity than Guantanamo.
That was Ramsey Clark. The gentleman that you heard in the middle between those two speakers was George Galloway. I'm going to take a few minutes now to just to sort of do a small recap. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to play some background, if I can find it. Some background noise, and I don't. Well, let's see. Let's play this clip real quick while I look for that other one. Steve Earle.
Nobody went with that. And love song and sing. The revolution starts now. Yeah. The revolution starts now. And you're back here.
And that was live at the concert.
Thank you so much.
That was live at the concert. Just real briefly, as we close out the show tonight, it's about 4 minutes before the hour. You are listening to All Things Reconsidered. This is a fairly new show. We've been going for a couple of months. And what you're hearing is background noise of walking up the street. Closing out the show, we were on Constitution Avenue. Took us about 4 hours to make the entire parade route, the entire demonstration route. Took an hour and a half to get from Midway Constitution Avenue, right by the Ellipse, to all the way to the top of 15th Street, which is probably half a mile. I mean, we were packed, and you know, just to give you an idea, the people there were, you know, there was no jostling and mean spirit. Everyone was just having a wonderful time. And as one person who had never been to a rally this big ever in my life before, you can better believe that I'll be going back if there's another one. I didn't go there to bring this show to you, although I felt like it was the best opportunity to put something together to present to you guys. And I just want you all to know that you're the reason why I keep doing this. And I overheard somebody saying, let's put it this way. We're either going to be walking or we're going to be standing, so get over it. Anyway. That's been All Things Reconsidered for this Sunday evening, September the 25th. Peter Worley's coming up next on his show. You can reach him at WRIF.com or PeterWorby.com. His show is, you know, it's probably going to be a hot one tonight, so I would stay tuned for that. That's 3 hours, 2 hours of live stuff and an hour of interviews, generally. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for this fantastic recap of the Washington March. Next week, we may do a little bit more of something. We'll see. There's still a few audio pieces left. Either way, watch your back, as Mike says, and take it easy. Treat yourselves well. And remember that we need to bring the troops home. So work for your local peace coalitions and try to make a difference in this world. Thanks again. This is Bruce Birch. You can reach us at www.thetruthis.us. You can also send me an email, BruceBirch@earthlink.net, and Birch is spelled B-U-R-C-H.
City out of my consciousness and what have you, but increasingly it seems like it's more like 7 to 10 hours or something.